3. I brought my phone in for a demonstration. Please don't call me. I think I've got it turned off. If you do, you're going to pay the $1,000. And some of you carnal Christians might want to see if it works. Nathan. All right. Chapter 3, verse number 20. With the Lord's help, we are at 12 o'clock. I'll have you out by 2. And hopefully by 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want you to pray with me. As I pray, you pray for yourself and ask yourself some questions as I pray. And I've been praying about some things, ask you to pray about some things. And let me ask you this. This is a question you need to ask yourself. Are you content with your faith? Are you content with your faith? Now, the answer to that, majority of us are. We're just pretty content right where we are. Because we move out of that, it gets busy, amen? So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. And Father, we thank you for the day and Lord for the word. And I pray that you'll anoint my mind and my heart to preach your word in power. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So Father, I desire this morning to preach under the power of the Holy Ghost, and God, to give the word as I have it here on these pages, and as I have it more than on the pages in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use me, maybe encourage somebody along the way, in Christ's name, amen. All right, I have asked you to be praying about something. God would help me to stretch my faith, to grow my faith. I mentioned back, I think it was the very first part of August, that in my Sunday school, there's no faith mentioned in the Bible, little faith and great faith. I got to thinking about that. I mentioned it here in church, maybe both services. And the next morning, Monday morning, I was down here praying, and I got to thinking about my faith. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to die and meet God without having great faith. I don't even want to die and meet God without trying to have great faith. Amen? And so I began to confess, first of all, for about the first week, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't have great faith. I think I've demonstrated great faith when I got saved. I think that was great faith. When I think I demonstrated it a few other times, maybe periodically, but I want to live with great faith. I read of George Mueller, who started an orphanage to prove the power of God, that by prayer all needs could be met. If you've never read George Mueller, you are missing something. And so I began to pray on that, and I knelt here and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about my lack of faith and needing great faith and wanting great faith. And I began to pray something along this line. I said, God, I want you to lead me to do something that is going to take great faith. Not just faith. I want great faith. I want great faith. I want to do something that I can't do. And more than that, not only that I can't do, but I don't want it. I wouldn't do it under normal circumstances. I just wouldn't do it. And the more I study the Bible, the more I am convinced that most preachers, most Christians, most churches know little about prayer and know less about the wonder-working power of God through faith. I began to pray about that. And I began to pray about that and ask you to pray about something. And so one day, whenever I didn't put any pre-existing conditions on what I wanted God to do to show me to have great faith. I wanted God to lead me to have great faith. Lead me into something so then it wouldn't be me trying to work it out. Because I can work things out up here. They may not work out in practice, but they sure work out here, I tell you that. And so I began to pray and pray and pray, and I never asked God to do any particular thing other than just to lead me to have great faith. I thought if Peter, who had great faith and stepped out of the boat and walked on water while the other 11 sat in there and got to tell the story. I thought, boy, I want something when I die. And I don't know when that's going to be, but if I die one of these days before the rapture, I don't want to meet my Savior. And if I meet Him in the rapture, that way, I don't want to meet my Savior having never experienced great faith. I think I mentioned this last week. Tozer said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And I've been blessed and read different scriptures, and boy, I tell you what, I read over there, I preached on this on prayer on one Wednesday night. I was reading through Job, and the Bible said, I would seek unto God, and to God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvelous things, and without number. Man, I underlined that. I thought, man, I've read Job, I don't know how many times, I don't ever see that verse in there. But boy, I got that verse in my heart, and I got to thinking, I want to commit my cause, whatever it is, to God. So one day after about, I think it was about 2.5 months, maybe first of October, maybe second week of October, the Lord began to, Lord did something in my heart, and I thought, well, I don't get this. See, I'm not sharp as some people, and so I thought, well, I don't get this. And the Lord began to open my eyes and understanding. So I called my good friend, Brother Fong, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? I actually just texted him. He goes, oh, Brother Tim, think that'd be a great idea? I thought, well, that's a good, but the Bible says among many counselors. So I called Brother House, and I said, hey, Brother House. I said, he's crabby enough, he'd tell me the truth, amen? And we're good friends, and so I talked to Brother House, and I said, hey, man, I said, what do you think about doing this? You say, well, preacher, if God led you to do it, why in the world did you ask him? Well, because I think that's wisdom. So I asked him, I said, well, what do you think about this? So he said, Brother Tim, he said, yeah, I think that'll work. I thought, boy, I'm really excited about this. And then I told Yvette, and she said, yeah, come on. Kind of inconvenienced her time period, she said, you know. And so, oh. Well, I give her a hard time, but she eventually saw the light. Amen. But I prayed, and I thought, well, so then the next morning, after I got some direction from the Lord. I was here praying. And here's what I prayed. I said, now, Lord, now I need some wisdom on this. And I said, Lord, now I've talked to Brother Fong and Brother House, and I want you to take Brother House, and I want you to speak through him to me about some direction here. I said, because I don't know any. I said, so you just use him. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, about 30 minutes after I got done praying, Brother House called me. He said, preacher, he said, I couldn't sleep all night. I said, I think I heard a song like that. Amen. And he said, I've been praying about what you said. And he said, I got up early this morning. And he said, I've been looking and looking and looking. He said, here's what I think you need to do. I said, ugh. Well, thank you, because I've been praying you had something for me. So I looked at it and I thought, well, what is it? If you look there in the book of Ephesians, I want great faith. Now, there are some prayers that we pray that God does not need our help and God does not need our assistance. We ask Him and he just does it. Doug was telling me a deal here. He had some car issues. It was a lot of money. He said he asked God and God just took care of the issue and praise the Lord. I was praising the Lord with him. Amen. Well, that's a blessing. God didn't need his help. He didn't need my help. He just needed somebody to ask. But some prayers God will not answer until we put our hands to the task. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Now that is the part that we many times miss. So I began to think, and I began to search really the scriptures throughout August and September, early part of October, and I began to seek the Lord and seek the Lord and in the scriptures, and what is it would God want me to do, and how could I just follow Him, never putting preconditions on what I would do and wouldn't do, but I wanted to do something. And I began to look at this verse in a much different light, and I began to study this verse. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now that's where most of us stop, but that's not where the verse stops. It is according to the power that worketh in us. So I'm going to give you three quick thoughts out of this, and I'm going to tell you a part of what I believe God's going to do. I told my Sunday school class this, and I'm going to tell you, I've tried to tell you 10 times. On Tuesday is a very, very important day. And I've asked some of our Sunday school class, and I want to ask some of you. Now, not everybody's going to do it, and I'm all right with that. It's all by choice. But I'd ask you, if you can, on Monday night after you go to bed and you get up Tuesday, that you fast all day Tuesday until at least 5 o'clock. And if you have to, you know, if you're diabetic and you can't do without food, we understand that. But if you can fast, do without water or food, if you can do without something, just give up something for a day, and fast, because Tuesday is such an important day. And I want you to remember that. I want you to keep that in your mind. I'm going to try to mention it 3 or 4 times. There's something that God's going to do great on Tuesday that you need to be a part of, and you need to help me fast and pray on that day. As my pastor would say, pray fast too. Amen. Number one, I want you to look here at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. All right? The power of God. There is nothing that God cannot do. The Bible says this word able means to be eminently able to have full strength. God is able to do anything. He asked Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, anything too hard for me? Anything that I can't do? The apostle said, Lord, with men, who can be saved? He said, with men it is impossible, but all things are possible through God. I believe God is still able to do great things. And as I began to pray, I began to acknowledge that God is able to do great things. The problem is our churches for the last probably 40, 50 years hasn't seen God. In fact, we've seen the decline of Christianity. We've seen the decline of church attendance. We've seen the decline of spiritual interest. And we're beginning to wonder, is God able? The children of Israel were under severe judgment because they got real smart with God. And they said, is God able to make a table in the desert? God said, I'll show you what I'm able to do, buddy boy. Boy, they wish they hadn't said that. You know, a lot of Christians, well, you know, but is God able to do things? You know what? God is able. Come on now. God is able. God is able to do great things. The God that created all things and all things are subject to Him can still do great things. I've read through the book of Acts and through other portions of the history books of the Bible, the prophecy books, and there is nothing that God cannot do. Boy, I thought, boy, if you look at that, and he says, unto him that is able, full of strength, eminently able, then he says, exceeding, which means in measure, above all things, in a measure exceeding all things, beyond all things. God can do beyond what you're asking him to do. And then he uses the word exceeding abundantly, means exceeding in number and measure more than necessary. God is able to do all of this and then a whole bunch more. And boy, thank God that he is. I remember last year whenever Neil Seafelt got saved, I told a preacher friend of mine that was sometime in October, and I told a preacher friend of mine that, and he said, boy, Brother Tim, that's really wonderful. He said, you know, it's hard for old man to get saved. And I pondered that a while, and this began to be my prayer and still is my prayer today. God, I pray that you'll use us, me, us as a church to see old men saved because our world believes they can't be saved. Our churches do because we don't try to witness to them. You know who we go for? That crowd that left here and went downstairs. Because they're easier to be saved. So I began to pray then. And I said, God, I don't want to pray that they'll get saved just for the sake of them getting saved. I want to pray this so that the power of God will be seen. You say, well, preacher, you don't want to see them saved? Yeah, I want to see them saved, but more than that, I want to see the power of God. I think we've baptized three, and I think we've seen eight saved this year, old men. If you're in your 60s, to me, you're an old man now. I think Terry was the youngest one that was saved, and then, or maybe Rick, I'm not for sure. They got saved in February, and then some others have been saved. I think there have been seven of them saved. I had it written down somewhere. But I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. Boy, I tell you, God's got power. You know what? We don't think he does. Oh, God, then that's a hard case there. Is anything too hard for me? So, oh, preacher, I've got a hard case. But you don't have an impossible case. Somebody amen that. You don't have an impossible case. Well, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, all of us in this room today, we think sometimes, you know, I bet God could, but I just don't think he would. Well, then he won't. We need to have the faith that God can do great things. Great things. Great things. And then, not only the power of God, but notice the prayer to God. Above all we ask or think. This is prayer. And I began to pray for those old men. I've got a list of them. And I said, now God, these are hard cases. But they're not impossible cases. But they're hard ones. It's like running your head through that wall about 27 times. I've talked to old Dennis up there, and I've told him the same thing over and over and over. And he says, well, yeah, I believe you, but I just don't know that that's real. I'd like to whop him upside the head, knock some sense into him, amen? But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm thankful to God that I was raised around a bunch of old stubborn old men. So I'm pretty happy. Say, oh, man, they cuss like a sailor. Well, they do, but don't bother me. I don't care. They talk, they got strange ideas. Old men got strange ideas. And the older they are, the stranger they are. About salvation, about God, a lot of them think they can't be saved. They've sinned too much. I began to pray not long after that, and when my preacher friend told me they're hard to be saved and almost impossible to see them saved, I began to pray, God, there's two groups that are hard to be saved. Number one is them old people, old men, old women. They just hard to be saved. Well, you don't see them falling into church altars by the groves, do you? Sure don't. And then the other group that's almost impossible, as we see today, according to church statistics, is those that are just going into college till about 26, 27, 28. I began to pray about that, and I said, now, Lord, I want to do something about that. I want to prove the power of God. I have absolutely no interest in gaining a name for myself. I have absolutely no interest in our church being represented in the world maps of things of somebody that did something. I have no interest in gaining meetings to go preach at, to show all the great things I do, but I have a desire to prove the power of God. I began to pray. And the Lord just said, well, why don't you go do something? Well, I chickened out. I said, well, I would, but you know what? That's a pretty intimidating crowd up here. So I just chickened out and I didn't do anything. But all through the year, I've been praying. And little did I know that this year, that God had a wide open door at our community college. 49, 48, 47, 40 some odd hundred kids. I know they all don't go up there, but a lot of them do. And there's a kid that we've witnessed to from New Zealand, one from Canada, one from the Virgin Islands, one from Africa. and all over the place, other than Missouri, other than our area right here. And God opened that door. And I was telling a preacher friend, he said, "Brother Tim," he said, "is that a Christian college?" I said, "No, I don't think so." I ain't detected that just yet. Amen. He said, "And what are you doing up there?" So I told him a little bit I was doing. And I said, "Well, I'm really not doing it. The Lord's doing it." I said, "I just get to be involved in it." And he said, "Brother Tim," he said, "that's unheard of." He said, "There ain't no way a sacred college let you do that." I said, "Yeah, I know. It was a hard thing, but not an impossible thing." You know, I believe we'd probably be able to do a lot more if we'd just try. Amen? So I began to pray about things. I began to pray about things happening and this. And you know, God says, "I can do above all that you ask or think." Well, I don't know about you, but I can ask a lot. And I can think a whole lot more. That word ask, here's what it means. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. To ask means something to be given. It is a request of the will. Isn't that interesting? Is a request of your will. It is in the middle voice, which I really don't know all this, but I'm just going, because I trust the guy that wrote this. He said, it's in the middle voice, therefore it means to ask for oneself or in one's own interest. I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm wanting to see God do something. I'm wanting to see, listen, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm just here to tell you that I want to see God do something. I don't want to die and meet God and God to say, "Well, you had just little faith because you didn't do anything." And little faith doesn't do much. Now, I know you're going to quickly think, "Well, remember that faith, small as a grain of mustard seed." Yeah, I know all them verses. But that little faith, that little grain of mustard seed don't stay that way. There's something happening to it before it gets up into that big old tree that the birds rest in. And I got to thinking, you know what? I just don't want to live my life. I don't know how many years I got left, but I just don't want to live the rest of my life having this humdrum, go to church, go home, take a nap, go to church, change times, do all of this, go to church, go to school, go to the print shop, go to the, and just be normal routine stuff. I don't want to do it. And I ask God to change me and change you. Yeah. And I think God is fixing to do that. The problem is found, see, we have the power of God. I got that one down. I believe God can do anything. I got the prayer. I got that one down. It's that next part that hinders most things from happening. The word "according to" means this: in proportion to or according to the measure of the power that worketh in us. I've read all kinds of commentaries from the 1600s all the way to modern commentaries. And very few commentaries touch on that part of the verse. But that is the key to everything prior to being said. God is able, you better believe He is. Do we pray to some degree and to a big degree? Yes. Then why isn't God doing anything? Well, just one problem. We ain't got no power. We just don't have no power. That word "worketh" in us is the word energy. Sometimes I get in a real nervous mode, like I am today. I don't know, I have a hard time sitting still, and I think the older I get, the worse it is. Me and Rachel went to the ball game yesterday, and I had to take up like 8 seats. I mean, I was over here. I was over there. Man, I'm telling you what. She said, "Dad." I go, "What?" I thought, good gravy. I can't tell you all things we do at a ball game because you'd think I'm a horrible person. But I was telling her, you know, them referees, man, they was running up and down that court. Man, I'm telling you what, last night I probably could have stayed up. When the other night I told her I'd been blowing that whistle. Hey, time out. Who took a time out? I did. Bless God, I'm tired of running. Y'all sit down and take a nap. Amen? Ball, I'd have held on to the ball, Brother Ron. I'd have said, no, I ain't throwing it back in. We're going to take a nap or something. We're taking a rest. Boy, last night, I think I could have kept up with him. I was up this morning. Man, I tell you, sitting in Sunday school, I like I had the jitters. Sometimes I get like that. I get real nervous about things, you know, and lazy. I get a little extra energy. I don't know what they call it, except God's word. You know what we need today in the church? We need some energy sitting in these pews. We need some, preacher, what you're going to want us to do is do something. That's why we need energy. Amen? Need a little enthusiasm. I tell you, I heard a church one day that the pastor put some electricity in the pews. And when he wanted somebody to do something, he'd just give them a little goose. I thought, boy, I wish I was a smart enough fellow to do that, amen? Y'all would be a shouting her out for about another hour. But you know, energy's something. And the Bible says, now, according to the power that energizes us. That word power is dunamis. There's two words for power. Exousia, which means the authority of God. It's used in this book in Ephesians. And then dunamis, which is the dynamite power of God. That's what he's talking about here. He said, according to that power, that ability to do what can't be done. Elijah asked Elisha, he said, hey, what do you want me to do for you before I go? He said, I'd like a double portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing. You're not asking impossible things, son. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've been praying, God, I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want the power of God. And last year I began to pray, God, enlarge my coast, as Jabez prayed. God, I don't care about preaching out. I just want to enlarge my usefulness in the kingdom of God. Oh, man. I'm telling you, there's so many lost people. And most of us are doing little to change that. There's so many areas that need a church. There's so many areas that need witness to. I've had people ask me, hey, Brother Tim, what are we praying about? You going to tell us what you're praying about? No, I ain't telling you. I just want you to pray. Deacons asked me the other night, they said, what are you praying about? And I said, well, I don't know. Brother Jim spoke up and said, well, I think I know. Man, that sparked my interest. I thought, man, if he knows, then God's talking. So I asked him, I said, what is it? I think Brother Jim named four things. I think I can remember three of them. But I think he said four things. But he said, you want to build a gymnasium? I said, no, I don't want to do that. Amen. He said, I forgot what the other one was. Then he said, you want to finish the building? I said, well, I do want to finish the building. I said, but no, that's not it. Then he said this. He said, God has called you away to do some other ministry. He said, I figure by the way you've been preaching, and he said, I even told another preacher, God's going to call you away to some other ministry. I said, well, never thought about that, but no, that ain't it either. And so I thought, well, he don't know. And the other guy's never said anything. So I swore him to secrecy. And if they told, then they didn't uphold secrecy. So I told them what I wanted to do. I told you, what I want to do, we have absolutely no ability to do. We don't have any money. It takes money to do things. I told them what I wanted to do. I think Brother Jack, if I remember right, I think Brother Jack may have been somebody. Brother Jack said, yeah, I think that'll work. I thought, boy, that's good. Glad to have somebody in, amen. So I just talked to them all, told them what I thought God wanted us to do. And boy, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I have pondered on this and pondered on this and pondered on this. Tuesday is such an important day. Could I ask you to pray earnestly about Tuesday? Now, I know most of you are thinking something, but I want you to think a little different than the way you normally think about Tuesday. Here's what one of them is. This is the small one for the first part of the year. My good friend, Brother House, told me, and he's called me four times since then. He said, what have you done with that? I said, well, this is what I think. I said, I've just been praying, and I've tried to really make this a serious matter of prayer. I go home. Sometimes I lock the door in the bedroom. I tell you, if you want anything out of there, because I got to do some business in here. I pray. The other morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I stayed up till 4:30. I got all the bedrooms full, and I don't like praying out in the family room because I never know if there's going to be a mouse out there or something. And so, you know, I don't want to be praying to get in the spirit the wrong way. Amen. And so I got in my closet. You know, the Bible does say get in your closet. So I got in the closet and turned the light on. I did that second night, and Yvette got up and turned the light off. I thought, good night. I couldn't see how to get out of the closet. But I got in the closet and turned the light on, and I had my Bible in there, and I got on my knees, and I stayed in there on my knees for 2.5 hours, telling God two things. I said, God, I'm willing to follow, but I don't want to embarrass you, and I don't want to embarrass the church. But I'm going forward. And boy, I felt the Holy Spirit just speak to me over and over out of this verse. And God said, Tim, if you don't let me work through you, you'll never get it done. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So here's what I want to do. The first part that I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you all of it, because it ain't all worked out yet. But I'll tell you, some of it worked out. My good friend, Brother House, called me and he said, Brother Tim, have you done anything with this? He said, now don't you put this on the back burner. I said, no, I'm not going to. I said, I'm just praying for God's wisdom. I have told over and over and over, I have absolutely no interest in starting a church. Zero interest in starting a church. Number one, I don't know how. And number two, I don't want to. So my good friend, Brother J.C. House, called me after I prayed that morning. He called me and he said, Preacher, you need to get you a map. And he said, you need to mark off from Highway 65 to 36 to 41 to Highway 70. And he said, you need to start churches. I thought, well, he said, now remember, you called me, I didn't call you. Yeah, I said, I appreciate that. So I thought, well, I'll go get me a map. Walmart don't have maps. Truck stops don't have Missouri maps. I thought, and the devil's already fighting. So I got a map. I looked at that area. And I don't know if you've ever looked from 65 to 41 to 63 to 70, but there's a lot of places in there. And I don't know how many people have churches. And so I told the deacons, I said, I believe God has laid on my heart to start a church. And so they said, where at? And I said, well, I picked a place first. I didn't know how to pick a place. Little did I have the sense to pray. Amen? So I thought, well, I'm going to call preachers. So I called me 4 or 5 preachers. I said, hey, got any place over it needs to. See, I don't know how to start a church. I said, but I'm going to start a church. So I had a preacher told me, he said, hey, Vandalia needs a church. I said, well, it's good enough for me. I highlighted Vandalia, got on the internet, found a little old Southern Baptist church over there preaching out of the King James Bible. As it looks like maybe 30, 40 members. I don't need maybe not even that many. So I called the preacher over and I said, man, I don't want to go there. Boy, Sunday night, I was here all by myself. We didn't have choir practice. Think, oh, Lefty got his arm hurt, and so we didn't have choir practice. I was here, and I thought, no. I said, Lord, that just don't even sound right. And all of a sudden, the Lord just out in my heart just said, I want to start one right here. I said, yeah, I like that. So I told the deacons. They said, you been there yet? I said, nope. So I went there yesterday because I didn't know what kind of churches was there. So I had my phone, and I'm trying to be, you know, so I'm trying to find a church, trying to find a place, and trying to find this, trying to find that. Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, I'll tell you where it is. I believe, and I have no idea, I had never thought about anybody or anything or any person in particular. I just wanted God to use me to stretch my faith. Now, the thing about it is, I don't know how to start a church, and you don't know how to start a church. But I figured together we'll learn. Amen? And so here I'm going to go down to Centralia, and I'm going to start a church. And about 2 hours after the Lord spoke to me, I thought, hey, Becca lives down in Centralia. AJ and Belinda live down in Centralia. I thought, man, I know three people. So I went down there yesterday, and I got to looking around. I think it was Brother Jack asked me, he said, where are you going to have that? I said, I don't know. He said, I'll find a church and rent a church. Well, that ain't going to happen, and they all have services. So I thought, well, I'm going to try to find something. So here's what I did. Before I went, this is what I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't have any idea where to go. But I said, you sent the disciples to a town and told them where to go. Remember, he told them where that donkey was, and he told them where to prepare the Lord's Supper. You'll find a man carrying a pitcher of water carrying a pitcher of water. You follow him, and that's where you have the Passover. I said, Lord, I don't have anywhere to go. But if you'll direct me to the place we'll go, I said, we'll start a church. I want great faith. I'm down on the south end of town. I'm down over here in the subdivision, and there's a Methodist church right here because I drove in their parking lot. I thought, well, that don't look like where I want to be at. So I did this. I said, hey, find me another church. So it did, and it said, now go up here. So I went up here, and I turned right, and I'm going up to either a Church of Christ or Church of God or something like that. I don't know what it was called. And I get right up there, and it says, getting close to your destination. I thought, oh, hallelujah. Now, I don't believe God uses Google very much, but I tell you what he did yesterday, and here's what Google lady said, or man, whichever it is, you have reached your destination. And I'm sitting right in the middle of the street, and there ain't a church one anywhere. I looked around and I thought, hey, right there's an empty building with a big note on it that says, if you want to rent me, call this number. I thought, hey, Phil, what do you rent that building for? He goes, oh, he's telling me a little bit about it. He says, preacher, he said, I'll just come down and show it to you. I said, even better. So he came down and showed it to me. And he said, what are you going to do down here? I said, I'm going to start a church. He goes, I'll help you. I go, now, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he offered to help. I thought, okay. He said, but you can't have it on Thursday night. I said, oh, shucks. That's when I wanted it. And he said, and every other Wednesday we have some ladies meet here. I said, no, I don't want it on Wednesday either. I said, is Tuesday open? He said, yep. So he's showing me this room and this. So we're going to start church. I said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do a little praying. I said, so I called my good friend Brother House. I said, hey, dude. He said, I told the deacons, I think maybe I did. I told the deacons maybe in April or May we'd start. But I don't think that's where we're going to start at. I think we'll start probably in January. And I began to pray, and I began to pray, and I began to pray, and I began to pray. You know, when I left there from Centralia, I thought, man, this is going to be great. That's what I thought I'd think. I was thinking, ugh, now the work starts. It was real exciting before the work started. And I began to pray, and I began to pray. And here's my plan with the help of the Lord. On Wednesday night, I'm still going to have church here. But our Wednesday night crowd, I'm going to cut in half. And I'm going to take half of you to Centralia. On Tuesday night, that'll be your midweek service. And then you can help start a church. And then after a while, we'll switch the other half. And that's the only way I know how to start a church. Then I don't have to be down there by myself with just one or two people. And there's already enough people there to look like we got a crowd. So that's how I'm going to start it. You say, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, it is a lot of work. I don't think anything we do for God's not a work. But unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. So that's one step of our faith. So the building rents. The guy said, "Preacher," he said, "I hate to charge you for this building." I said, "Well, I hate you to charge me too." He says, "What do you give me?" I said, "Man, I wouldn't know if you charged me $12 or $1,200." I said, "I'm going to have to buy a piano." He said, "We got a brand new one I'll just give you." In. Dibs. Called it before the other crowd did. Now, I'll tell you where it's at. Now, don't be offended in how I'm going to say this, because this is just how I'd say it. I wouldn't pick the place that we're going. But I know whenever I got there, and that was the place God had for me, I wouldn't have probably picked this place. But it's a very widely known place, so I won't have any problem directing people there. It's at the Masonic Lodge. And in the back is where they do their stuff at, whatever they do. And then in the front of it is their fellowship hall. I said, "Well, what do you rent it for?" He said, $75 a night. I said, "We'll take it." He goes, "Well, I can't charge you $75. I said, "Okay, we'll still take it." He said, "Well, what will you give me for it?" I said, "I don't know." Then he says, "Well, our building payment's $350 a month." I said, "Okay." So I figured that up. 75 for 26 weeks or 350 a month is about $150 difference. So what I'm going to do is tell you tonight what we're going to do. But that's the way God has led. Now, you say, "Preacher, are you quitting the pastor?" No, I ain't quitting the pastor. I'm just going to rent that for 6 months and get established down there, and then we're going to build a building. Of all things, he said, "Hey, you want to buy some ground? We got this little lot we ain't got nothing to do with, right on the highway." I said, "Hang on to her. I'll get some money somewhere, amen." No, I will just pray about it. So I'm going to do that. We are going to do that until June. And then after June, I want us to prepare to build a building and start a church. And we're going to meet on Tuesday night. We got it from 6 to 10. Of course, we won't need it that long. And then after that, we'll find us a preacher. We'll find us, or we'll use the two guys I got here plus some of these other guys. And we'll go down there. And we're going to start a church. And that's what we're going to do. Now, that takes about all of my faith plus about a whole lot more that I don't have. I said, "Lord, I really don't have time to do all that. I got this college ministry, and boy, that thing is just, you know, I go up there quite a bit. I'm trying to get in there and trying to do this. That's all." The Lord said, "Hey, you're the one to ask for great faith." I said, "Yep." I said, "I'll just work around it." So I'm going to make some changes in some things we do over the next few months. But I want you to pray. Now, it's going to cost money. It's going to cost $2,100 to rent that for 6 months, all right? So we'll get that. Now we all got $2,100, but I want you to be a part of that, amen? I told God in this step of faith I would not borrow money, because anybody can do that. That ain't faith. I just known a good banker. So I will not borrow money. I will not borrow money. If you're going to do this, then it's going to be faith to do it your way. So, 26 weeks times $81 is $2,100. So I'm going to get some of you that have 80 extra dollars sitting around to donate it. Some of you say, I don't have $81. I only got $41.50 or $40.50. Then we'll get you and somebody else to pair up with you. Some of you say, "Well, I don't have $40. I only got $20.25. Then we'll get four of you to hook up together. Some of you are going to give $10.12.50. Take eight of you to get a week. But we're going to get it. Amen? Now, I know I could, if I wanted to be foolish, I could just point out some people, and I'd say, now they'll give. I know they'll give, and they'll give. I know they will. But I'm not going to do that. I'm very serious about this. I want you to go home today, and I want you to start praying for that little town. They have 5,000 people. They have one Southern Baptist church, the big church there, First Baptist Church. I think it's contemporary, and I'm going to have a contemporary church. We'll go down there and start a Bible church the way I think it ought to be started. I'm not going to go out and get support from other churches. I believe our church will do this. And I believe we'll see God do something great. And if you'll get in with it. Now, you may be like some of them with Gideon and say, oh, preacher, that's way too much. I understand that. I'm asking you to piggytail on my faith. And that's awful hard for me to do for others too. So if you're scared of this and you say, it's all right, you won't hurt my feelings. But some of you got great faith or want great faith. And if you'll piggyback, get on with what God, I believe God is leading for. Not that I believe something God is leading for. I believe we'll see God do something great beyond what we could recognize. Unto him that is able. Boy, the other night in my closet, I sat there and I just begged God. I said, oh God, I sure don't want to be foolish. I don't want to ruin your name. I don't want to ruin the name of the church. And I'd rather die than do that. Boy, the Lord just opened up the Bible. Holy Spirit came down and said, now I'll take care of all of this for you if you want great faith. I came up out of that closet and I was walking straight across there with no thing. I was up on a different plane with God. And I believe God's going to do something great. I don't want to die and meet God, having never tried to have great faith. And I'm not going to. The other one, I ask you to pray on Tuesday. Something big. The deacons know about it. My wife knows about it. The only ones that know. And I've asked them to pray, and only to pray. And I've prayed every day, either here or in my office or at my house, or driving down the road. Lord, I sure want great faith, but I have no money to do what I believe you're leading us to do. We're going to stand together and we're going to pray. I hope you today come down to this altar. If you come down here, let me put it that way. I want you to commit yourself to having great faith. Boy, God, I want great faith. Father, we thank you today for your blessings, for your watch care. Lord, I haven't tried to exalt me. I haven't tried to exalt the flesh. I've tried to be very careful to talk about what you've led, to talk about how you're able, to talk about your power. Lord, it just really, in the flesh, scares me to death to try to step out by faith. I believe, God, with all of my heart, that you have led me to go in this direction with the church. And I pray tonight that you'll continue to lead. Lord, I have absolutely no knowledge how to build a church other than to read in the book of Acts where they went somewhere and started preaching. And that's all I'm going to do. That's all we're going to do. And I pray right now that you'll begin to prepare the hearts of those people that need encouragement, that need a good church, that are lost. God, right now you'd begin to magnify yourself even long before we get down there. You said we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us and ordained us that we should bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should remain, that whatsoever we ask, we shall receive. So, Lord, I thank you today for giving me grace and even a desire to have great faith. And I pray for what's going to happen on Tuesday, that God, the Holy Spirit, would just illuminate my mind and my heart. I pray, God, for us as we fast and as we pray and as we try to step out of the boat and onto the rough waters of this world, that, God, you'll help us, lead us, and guide us. You said Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and was led of the Spirit. So fill me and us that we may be led of the Spirit as well. Help each one of these that are here today. Lord, I know I've laid a lot on them. But God, help us. As we go home, God, may we submit ourselves to your will and your leading for the glory of God. In Jesus we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe just in respect of one another, maybe you want to come and pray. Miss Rosemarie's playing the hymn of invitation. So maybe today you'd say, you know what, preacher, I want to have great faith. I step out beyond what I normally do. I want to see God do something in my life, and it's not normal. I had no preconceived ideas when I prayed about that, but I believe God has surely spoken to my heart about something. God has done so much for me that I owe him everything there is. And I don't want to stand in front of God having never tried to exercise great faith and see him bless. I don't know. Maybe I have in the past and I just don't realize it. I don't know. But I just feel so weak in my, so small. And he's so big. Oh, today, God help us to have great faith. God help us to have great faith. I tried to work all this out in my mind at first, and I just couldn't do it. And I just have not one time tried except trying to pick a place to start a church. But I have submitted to God. You lead and I'll do. And I hope that's what you'll pray too. I appreciate our deacons. Whenever we got done, they said, preacher, we're going to pray and we're going to be there for their support. Boys, preacher, we don't have any money to start a church. We got a printing shop. We got Sunday school. We got Awana. We got camp. We got all these things that's going on. Yeah, I know. We don't have any money. I already know all that. I've told you that already enough times. I know we don't have any money to do what I want to do. But we have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God's not broke. And if God orders it, then he'll take care of it. I believe after we get started and God begins to work and God begin, we'll see God bring somebody in and we'll just start a church. And then once we get that established and we get somebody there, we'll just go start another one. Brother House gave me a great vision. Hundreds of little towns. And the copycat that I'm using is the old-time Methodist who was a circuit-riding preacher. On Sunday, he preached one place, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. He went to little towns that didn't have much, but they had people that deserved a Bible preacher. Starting the college ministry, starting the nursing home, and trying to fulfill all these things that I do, I think, good night, I ain't got time. But God, I want to have great faith. Great faith. Great faith. I say, preacher, you're going to die. Yeah, I know, but I'd just soon die trying to have great faith as I would to sit in my office day after day and never see anything happen. All right, Miss Rosemarie.